I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Darling, we're the young ones, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus and I've got Jim with me.
Hello.
Luke's here.
Flavour. All right.
PTD.
All right, Snotface.
Yes, indeed we are.
Back in our studio.
In the studio without the listeners.
What's happening? Where have they gone? Where have they deserted us in our hour of need?
They've gone home. Thank you very much to all those who came to the live show, by the way.
Yeah, sorry it took so long to get it out, but, you know, stuff happened.
Lovely time was had. Now then, Sven-Goran Eriksson. Early mensch.
Yeah, the sweepstake, the sweepstake players will be up in arms about that.
Wow. Yeah, it's an early mensch, but it's by no means a record.
No.
Do you know before the live show, I tried to hire a Sven-Goran Eriksson impersonator?
Oh.
Well, what do you mean? Well, it didn't happen because he doesn't get back to his emails. So, if you're listening,
it's a busy time for him. Work,
well,
then,
we can't use that at another live show then.
It's a busy time for him. We can't book him.
It's always a busy time.
You can't book him. Listen, you think you're going to ring up a Sven-Göran Eriksson personator 2 or 3 weeks before the World Cup and expect
10 years after he's relevant,
casually reply to your email?
I would imagine that he's not available because Marcus has just hired him to hang out with.
Yeah. Is it your bellboy?
Watch the World Cup with me, Sven.
I'll come to your problems in a minute. I will take umbrage of that, Donaldson. You said not relevant for 10 years. 4 years ago, he was managing a team at the World Cup.
10 years.
He was managing a team at the World Cup.
What team was it, Marcus?
Ivory Coast.
10 years.
That's disrespectful.
That is like David Brent there. That is, I don't believe that is.
Anyway, Sven-Goran Eriksson, right? If people are playing drinking games, then you're all drunk by now.
Yeah.
Sven-Goran Eriksson.
The reason we didn't get him at the live show, by the way, is because we tried to book him and Marcus had given him a day off. he had him for a month solid.
I just want you to watch.
He's like a library book that never gets taken back. Sven. Marcus is Sven.
That's enough of that. Now,
I smell
that,
a sitcom.
Yeah, that denial has a ring of truth in there.
He's
weird.
Created his own brand of wine.
And you'd know,
simply
having
called,
hired him.
Simply called Sven. If you could name one of his bottles, what would you call it, Jim?
I would go for simply Sveniggjons Blanc. Svenigan's Blank, if you were going to read it phonetically.
Yeah, like that.
You'd have a lovely old time on it.
That's
you
the extent of your answer, isn't it?
That's it. It would come in a crate, and I don't mean like bottles in a crate. It would be an actual crate with a tap on it.
Yeah,
you could just have loads of it. You could fill a jacuzzi with it.
With
in fact, it would be blended so that it would go particularly well in a jacuzzi.
Okay. Fair enough.
Luke. I would have a... I'd probably go for a nice bottle of Vaselbeck.
Jesus.
Wow.
Even I think that's awful.
I was trying to think of like a Turkish vintage for Vassel. Obviously, Melbeck, originally from France, but is well known as being Argentinian.
Well, it works with Beck as well.
Vaselbeck, yeah, it sort of works. That's all I got.
Does it work?
Yeah.
I'll let you be the judge.
I'm not sure any of this bit's working.
Pete, save us.
I don't think it would actually be a bottle of wine. I think it'd be, because you know, like they use the some of the grapes for the wine, and then what's left over they make grappa out of.
Yes.
So I'm thinking it would be like Heskey's grappa or something. Yeah. It would be strong, uncompromising. And ultimately useless at a dinner party.
Unsubtle.
Unsubtle.
It's a bit disappointing.
Yeah.
Very physical.
Strong.
My Vassel vintage would be very much used at a dinner party when you're flagging a bit and there's not much energy happening, and you'd introduce it to sort of maybe give your guests something to think about.
Goodness, people talk about, you know, the England side being a bit depressing nowadays. It's literally not Darius Vassel.
Agree.
Jesus.
Marcus will defend him, but I agree with
Darius
you.
Darius Vassel.
Defend him.
Yeah, do you remember when he was necessary, though? Do you remember when he was relevant?
Luke and I were talking about this on the way up here, actually. Yeah, it is... I mean, if that's what I'm saying. If you think we haven't moved on, then you're wrong. We bloody have.
We truly have.
We have, yeah. I was thinking...
the good thing is, it's inspiring players now. Daniel Sturridge is thinking to himself, probably sat in his hotel room right now, thinking, can I be England's new Dara Aspasal? That's what he's thinking.
I may have already achieved this.
Yeah, I clearly have.
Yeah. I would... I think... I was thinking about... going for one which was a little bit weaker, a little bit soft, just called the half-time team talk. or the second half. But then I thought,
usually, you're a terrible hangover.
Yeah. Usually you come up with these questions because you've got a particularly strong answer to build around it. Not this week.
No. But I would go for a bottle which would be his main one. It would be the one that he would sell the most, just simply called The Married Woman.
Yeah. Yeah, is that right?
Yeah,
or he would keep all of his wine in like a well,
nice.
Outside, and he would just get jugs of it, like lovely sangria.
I'm not picturing myself in a restaurant with my girlfriend ordering a bottle of The Married Woman
from a well.
I'm just not feeling it. From a well, excellent.
Oh dear, I think Jim's got the point. Jim has got the point.
How has that even happened? No disrespect, Jim, but how has that even happened?
Did you hear all of the answers? It's lucky anyone got any
points.
That's
what I'm saying.
Surprised he didn't burn the points. Yeah. Like that band in the 80s where they bet on that money.
Well, yeah, that's
KLF.
Right, yeah.
KLF.
Burned a million quid.
And it was the 90s.
They regret that now, don't they? Sven was... I mean, it's World Cup time, ladies and gentlemen. We're crying out loud. And Sven was interviewed ahead of the World Cup and said of the tournament, you can't live through anything better. You're damn right. He said, the Champions League is big, the Premier League is big, but they are nothing compared with the World Cup. It's the maximum... A one-month football
very
party.
90s. It's radical.
A one-month football party, not for England. It never lasted a month when he was our manager.
And they're having a jolly up in Miami.
Yeah, I suppose so.
It's amazing though, isn't it? Like you look forward to the World Cup like basically from the moment that the last one ends, but when it gets to that week, the excitement is almost unbearable.
Are you giddy?
I am giddy. I'm mostly giddy anyway, yeah. But like, especially at the moment.
After the Honduras game, which I'm sure we're going to come on to talk to in a second, I got involved in a few little chats about football on Twitter and about England with some Twitter followers, and I excited myself so much I couldn't really sleep.
Yeah.
And that's how bad it's got for me. I was like tossing and turning, couldn't get down. I was like a child that had too much squash.
What were you thinking?
Just about what team England they're going to play, how they're going to... Yeah, that sort of stuff, yeah, yeah.
You're thinking, is it too late to try and bring in a back three?
I was thinking, is it too late for me to try and break into the BBC pundit team? Yes, it probably is.
Physically breaking into it would be quite good.
I could do that, yeah. Yeah.
Well, England, their last game before the World Cup was a 0-0 draw with Honduras. And... it was some of the best television that I've seen since the game was abandoned with Poland in the qualifiers through rain. The thunderstorm halfway through the first half. I mean, I love a bit of that, mate.
They say you can tell the quality of a broadcaster presenter when things start to
go wrong. Yeah.
And I think, for all his faults, for example, Richard Keys, for all his faults, good presenter.
Yeah.
You know, knows his
terrible
onions.
Bloke.
Yeah, awful man. One of the worst human beings on the planet. There's no question about that. I'm not.
Maybe
I'm not
you have to be
point.
Awful to be good at that job.
But good presenter, right? Adrian Charles is also one of those things. Because he lost his way, didn't he? I'd have had you in there, Speller.
Would you? Yeah. I appreciate that.
His hair at the moment, goodness me.
I'll tell you what, if you think they were sweating...
He's sitting there. Speller would have been sweating more than Charles. Though. That's
I would have been.
Yeah.
Your body hair would be coming through your shirt.
Yeah.
Just, it would entwine with the bead that you would have on.
No need for that, Jim. You're going too far, dude.
Glenn Hoddle, yes. I tuned into that game not expecting to see Glenn Hoddle's nipples. He looked like he was getting towards the end of a rather vigorous, heated timeshare sales pitch. White shirt, open, like long hair, unshaven.
Not enough mics. Why isn't there enough mics?
Yeah, completely agreed. There was a cheeky moment where Ian Wright, he poked Lee Dixon in the face with his mic.
Did. We'll do that.
And that was on camera.
Did you see before the game, one of the Honduran journalists... referred to Steven Gerrard to his face as Mr. Frank.
Oh dear. Mr. Frank. It sounds like a horse.
I've got a question for you, Mr. Hodgson, and a question for you, Mr. Frank. What are you expecting from Honduras?
No, he's the other one.
Yeah. No, what would you do then if it turned out that Steven Gerrard was living like a secret double life with a completely new family and he was called Mr. Frank?
Or if he was a TV personality wherever that journalist came from.
Hmm.
You would what, sorry?
What if he was like a massive TV personality wherever this journalist came from?
Mr. Frank.
I don't think
Mr.
any Frank. Of those things are what was really going on. Stephen Gerrard just looked a little bit offended. And I think probably
that would have been a bad thing. It would have been brilliant if his question was, oh, well, obviously you and Stephen Gerrard aren't playing in the middle anymore. Thank goodness that they chose the right one.
Yeah.
Mr. Frank.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no one likes that prick.
No, Mr. Frank isn't even his name.
He clearly,
Mr. Lampard.
Yeah, but he's clearly thinking it's Frank Lampard, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
It's more derogatory. Hodgson jumped in and went, Mr. Steve.
Did he? Oh, nice. Very nice. Nice from Roy. Wasn't great to see Roy in his shorts, so I have to admit.
Undignified.
It's British people when there's a hint of sun. The shorts come out, mate. He probably didn't even know he'd put them on. The bottom of his trousers would have just come off because of the heat.
But a man,
it's how British men are.
But a man
he'd have started a barbecue as well.
That's why I'm wearing shorts today.
But a man of his age, I'd prefer to see him like a Roger Moore-esque safari suit.
Fair enough.
If I was going to have a criticism to level at Roy, and I think he gets too much criticism anyway, I think he's done a good job so far, and we'll judge him obviously over the next few games, but it would be sartorially he's poor. I might have mentioned it when it happened, when he went to go and visit Manaus for the first time.
Yeah,
we're talking open neck blue short sleeve shirt. I'm not a fan of the short sleeve shirt, but fine. Grey slacks, bit boring, running trainers, poor.
Odd. But not if acceptable. That's the worst problem we have at the moment, then that's a refreshing change.
It's just one of the many.
You're still worried about Baines' guitar.
I am very worried about that. Yeah.
There was he'll get it out before penalties, won't it? It's going to happen.
There was a wonderful interview with Adrian Charles and Ricardo Salazar, the referee. Yeah.
He's a poor ref.
Do you know what? It's such a shame because he talked such a good game at half time. He conducted himself brilliantly. Wonderful biceps, which apparently he's quite well known for.
Powerful biceps.
Yeah, which is his trademark in the MLS. He came across very much like a man in charge. But the subsequent football suggested not.
Hodgson absolutely slated him as well. Just slated him after the game.
Well, it was like a bloody war zone at times.
Hodgson said, it's one of the most damning criticisms of a referee I've ever heard. I think Hodgson literally said, well, he just looked like he didn't know when to blow his whistle. And that is a basic page one thing of being a ref, isn't it? That's not going to have changed between international football and MLS. It's still essentially the same sport.
Ever in the history of football.
No, exactly, yeah.
It was a crazy one, wasn't it? I mean, Pete, what do you think of the referee? Poor?
I just didn't think he knew where it was, basically. From what I've seen. I didn't see the game live, I watched it back, and I'm going, I'm not really sure what this man is all about, to be quite frank.
How good was the footage, though, when the storm was on?
Remember when we were doing the Ukraine, and there was an absolute peeing it down match?
France versus Ukraine.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah, there was an England qualifier as well. Was it England?
Yeah, Poland.
That's brilliant. More of it.
I agree with you.
I really enjoyed seeing the friendlies take place in the USA, because even though it's 20 years later, something about the footage and something about the goals just made me feel like it was USA 94.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
That's all the World Cup shit you like, isn't it? Just the little quirks like that. You remember those things as much as you remember like who scored the winner in the final.
I tell you something, though. England, actually, look as though their preparation's been pretty good. Okay, maybe the performances you might think would... could have been a little bit more inspiring, but bearing in mind, I think it got to the point where they were thinking, let's just get through this.
Well, the situation is that with the last two friendlies, which we've had since we did the last show, Ecuador was an experimental team.
Yep.
So that's, I mean, realistically, fine, you can get on your high horse about that. But Ecuador qualified for the World Cup out of the South American group, which is reasonably difficult.
Yeah. Well, they finished above Uruguay.
Yeah, and we played an experimental team, which really, unless it's an absolute disaster, they're not going to play a field anything like that sort of side. No. So that's put that to one side.
England were great in spells in that game.
They were, yeah. They just a little bit dodgy at the back. But like I say, I mean, the back five wasn't anything like what it would be.
No.
And then against Honduras, of course, it was difficult and we're a bit one-dimensional. We should have moved the ball out wider quicker and we should have played with a higher tempo, but Honduras were never going to win that game. England dominated. They didn't even get out of their half in the second half, really, from what I can remember. So England got a good 90 minutes under the belt in hot, humid conditions. Let's not forget also, they're playing Honduras for once in a environment which Honduras would be used to and England wouldn't be. Mm. Normally you'd think, well, if Honduras... Look at the South African World Cup, you know, it's chilly, wasn't it? Honduras wouldn't be used to that at all, England would.
Mm.
The Honduras have got to playing in their own conditions and Honduras are a decent enough side. They qualified. Mm. They're probably... I mean, okay, overall they're a poor side, but they qualify for the World Cup and that should be respected. It's not like they're playing, you know, anyone. Mm.
But I mean, these are the sort of teams you're going to come up against, you know, that everyone has their right to be there, so it's great to be playing them. And, you know, he's got to experiment. What is the point of playing three games of his starting 11? What is the point of that? He might as well only bring those players.
Yeah, look at what Prandelli does with Italy. He experiments so much in friendlies. I mean, his record in friendlies is really poor.
Well, they played a Fluminense side, didn't they?
Yeah.
They
won 5-3.
They drew 1-1 with Luxembourg, so their preparation's not been enormously inspiring.
It's funny,
because
I guess it was on an American radio show earlier today, and they were saying that...
Hey, Morrissey!
Yeah, they were saying that they were surprised at the coverage of how poor people were treating Honduras. He was saying that in the US, Honduras is seen as a reasonable side. Yeah. I think the US went to Honduras maybe last year and got beat by them. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're not completely terrible, you know.
No, but, so, I mean, they tried to kick the shit out of England.
Yeah, massively.
Which is like, it's a bit of a wake-up call that maybe that's going to happen.
I'm pleased they got through a physical encounter, because it gets to the point sometimes with those warm-ups where they're just a waste of time.
Yeah, exactly.
You might as well have a training session behind closed doors or something.
Nobody wants to, like, get injured.
Exactly.
And they'll be a lot more pumped from that than they would be from a sort of, like, lifeless, insipid draw, like, that fizzled into nothing.
I guess people did see Oxlade Chamberlain go off and stuff, and, you know, you would have one eye on that, I think, to a certain extent. But you've only got three matches in the group stages. You know, you've got to start playing football at some point. Mm. And also, I think, you know, Hodgson's hand was forced by, you know, a couple of pullouts and and stuff. So.
That's right, yeah. I mean, he was going to play Sterling behind Sturridge and Rooney out on the left.
Yeah. But
do you think he'll do that against Italy then?
I don't know now.
It's such a shame that Sterling got sent off, because...
Harshly, I felt.
Well, I don't know. It was a reckless one.
I thought that was fine for a reckless one.
Well, yeah, but I just think... I know you've got to play the rules rather than the circumstances, but I don't know.
Anyway, well, the point is he was off. I'm not sure. I think it's quite good that nobody seems to know exactly what he'll do. People seem to think it'll be the starting lineup against Honduras, with Welbeck on the left and Lallana on the right. I agreed with what Hoddle said. I wouldn't have Lallana on the right. If you're going to play Lallana, I'd put him on the left. Mm. And maybe have Sterling on the right as well. Mm. But also, I wouldn't be shocked if he played Gerrard and Wilshere in more the base of the midfield, and had Henderson on Pirlo.
Yeah.
And then had Rooney on left, Sturridge up top, and then, you know...
I think he'll play Welbeck, though. I'm pretty sure he'll play Welbeck.
Bottom line, you need someone to just follow Pirlo around, because he's the beating heart of that side, and you just need someone on him all the time, just man-mark him from minute one to minute 90. You just can't let him go at any point.
Yeah. Well, indeed, but I thought that the England's preparation, like I said, you know, a moment ago, that... It's been pretty good. They've gone over to Miami. They've got used to the climate a little bit more. They're in Rio. I think Italy have only just left Italy.
Yeah.
They've been playing friendlies. Okay, Italy's...
They're only getting to Manaus the night before.
That's right,
the Friday night before.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it does seem a little bit strange.
Do they know the date? Has there just been a big mix-up?
Well, I'll tell you what.
Did they ever take the private planes?
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of when I read that back in the day, for the South American qualifying, when the teams used to go to Bolivia, go to La Paz and go to Quito in Ecuador, they used to go 2 weeks before, right? And they used to acclimatise, say Argentina, Brazil used to go there.
You don't get two weeks now.
Well, now they can't, exactly, because the players aren't released a lot for long enough. So now they go up on the morning.
They
try and thrash it out and then come home again.
Oh, okay.
And so I don't know whether... I mean, that's a different, slightly different issue, because that's altitude, not temperature and humidity. But I wonder whether they're going down that route. But they're definitely only getting on the Friday. That's confirmed. I read that today.
Mm. I'm pretty pleased with England's preparation. I think it would have been nice if we'd have scored against Honduras.
Yeah, but the key thing is... Well, that goes without saying.
It would have just been like, right, we've got the goal, we're ready, let's go.
But the key thing against Honduras, by the way, is how... I know that Honduras are a weaker team than England, and I've maybe contradicted myself slightly by saying they're a poor team, but they're quite decent. My point is, they are one of the poor teams at the World Cup, but they have still qualified for the World Cup. And one of the criticisms that was levelled at England pretty much consistently over the last few tournaments is that we can't keep the ball enough. Well, we kept the ball against Honduras for 90% of the time. Yeah. We had the ball the whole time. And if England are going to focus, maybe they were practising possession, you just don't know. Maybe they're going to focus on trying to have a lot of possession against Italy, because last time we played Italy, we had about 20%. And Pirlo made more passes than all our midfielders put together. Yeah.
That's a definite thing that has to change. Right, isn't it? Of course. Hopefully that is the case. Do you think Italy think that the flight will count as altitude training?
Yeah, maybe.
Well, I think altitude's a problem in Manaus. Mm. It is more the humidity, isn't it? But it will be interesting to see what happens with Ross Barkley.
Yeah, he's been excellent.
I don't think he'll start, but I thought, again, Hoddle had some good points. That he said the last 20 minutes would be quite crucial. Hopefully we're still in the game then.
I was convinced about a week ago that he was bluffing with Barkley, Hodgson, and he was going to play him.
Really?
Yeah, but I don't think he is now.
Well, I think that Barkley's shown a lot of vim and a lot of energy coming on, but he does give the ball away quite a bit.
Yeah.
He's just raw, isn't he?
Exactly, he's very raw, and he's a little bit...
He takes chances
basically constantly, and he's good enough that he pulls a lot of them off. And but I guess that's why we're seeing him be quite reckless.
I would just play him
possession away.
There's not enough room for him to slot in further up the field for me. So I think you can't have him anywhere near the back four because he'll just lose the ball and we'll get into all kinds of trouble.
He has to be in the advanced
position. He won't play against Italy, I don't think. I think he'll play the second game maybe.
I think it might be quite a sort of cagey game. That I think Italy would be happy with a draw. I can imagine it being 1-1.
Someone made a reasonable point, which I agree with earlier in one of the newspapers. I forget who it was. They said that
Gary Bushell.
I think it was him. No, it wasn't him. It wasn't Richard Littlejohn either.
Because you agree with him a lot, actually, don't you?
Come on, enough of this nonsense.
When Luke starts shaking his head, you know.
you can edit my answer in later. If you want. They said that he looks like Hodgson will try and condense the game down to 30 minutes. So essentially, he'll try and keep it really tight. Get to a 0-0 after about 60 minutes, and then maybe throw Barkley and or Sterling in there.
That would be a decent. If it pulls off,
hell of an injection of
pace. Imagine if you're an Italian defender, fullback especially, and you're in that.
Hang on, I'm still imagining I'm an Italian defender. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. I'm driving to me ends off.
Yeah, I don't mind that Barkley's coming on. I'm loving it.
It's the 1982 World Cup.
Yeah.
It's 20 minutes, 30 minutes to go, or something like that, and Sterling comes on, or even Barkley. You must
or
be
or Oxlade
right.
Chamberlain.
Yeah.
There's so much
well, if he's
pace
fit.
On the bench. Yeah, I think he will be fit. I think he might miss the first one, but it's touch and go. He could make it.
England really do have a bit of pace with those players. And
got
some
to
of
them, use them, though. Yeah. Got to
well,
use them.
With Sterling and with Oxlade-Chamberlain as well, actually, he against Ecuador, he showed that. I think he took the ball. I think Opta was saying he took the ball past opponents 7 or 8 times, which was the most since something like 2007 for an England player, like that. But that pace, it's not just... See, someone like Sturridge has got pace, absolutely, and Welbeck. But Oxlade-Chamberlain, and obviously Walcott's not there, but he's another, and Sterling. That is... There's only a handful of players in the world who have that type of pace, that you're just not catching them.
Sterling seems to sometimes at his best... seems to speed the whole game up.
Yeah.
He's playing at a completely different pace.
Having Gerard Henderson and Sturridge in there as well means that they'll be able to handle that. Often you'd see with Theo Walcott, he couldn't quite slow down in time.
Yeah.
The rest of the team just weren't ready. But that shouldn't be an issue there.
No, but then it could be one of those situations like Theo Walcott in his first major international tournament where he just wasn't used.
Yeah, exactly. Such a waste of a place, that.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to see that.
No. I think England in general will have learned from that for a long time to come.
Well, the key decision will be, just based on what I was saying earlier about the 60 minutes thing, the key decision will be for Hodgson will come. I mean, of course, it's important the team he picks, but I'm sure he'll be pretty happy about that and he'll have that planned out. But the key decision for him will be, after 60 minutes, if it's 0-0, does he think, a draw's not the end of the world in the first game? You don't want to lose your first game.
Yeah, that's right.
Difficult conditions, all of the rest of it. Italy are a good team. Do I keep it? Do I stick or twist, basically?
Correct, yeah. And also, if you do lose the first game, Uruguay will sit back. That's what they do. They've got a couple of cloggers in the centre of the pitch.
Yeah.
And obviously their defence is a bit questionable, but they like to sit deep. They like to and then hit on the break because they play to their strength. They play reactive football. Mm. They're going to do that. And England will probably look to take the game towards them. But if England are chasing a result and they need to win at least, you don't want to have to be impatient playing against Uruguay. You want to kind of grow into it and test them out. Not to lose is key. But also the other thing that we've touched upon, as many others have, if it is 60 or 70 minutes and Rooney's having a shocker, does he bring him off?
I think he will. I think he will. I got a feeling. I said that before on last week on the live show. I said that I think Hodgson started to prepare the ground with the media in terms of briefing and stuff like that to start to drop Rooney. I think what he'll probably do is he'll start him against Italy. And if he doesn't perform, I think he will bring him off. And even if he doesn't bring him off, I think he could drop him for the second game. And he can go to Rooney in the meantime, if good management would suggest, he can go to Rooney and say, look, you're getting pelters. You know you're not performing at the top level for England. I'm giving you a chance. I'll give you a chance to get Italy. If it doesn't happen, no one can say I've not been fair. I've given you the opportunity. We've got hungry players here.
And those sort of like conditions don't look like the sort of perfect conditions for a player like Rooney. His size, he doesn't look like the fittest gent in the world. You know,
I can imagine him taking his shirt off quite early.
Put a hanky on the floor.
I can imagine. You're willing, because it is so human. Unless you're willing to just like, you know, those silica gel packets you get in shoes, just make him inhale them.
Put it under his armpit.
So just soaks up some of the water.
I think there's a couple of people around this desk that could do with him. I'll move on from that.
Guilty.
I was going to say that.
Me too.
I think that Rooney now is turned into a player that does most of his best work for England off the ball. And that's not really what you want from a number 10. And so I think Hodgson could go down that route where he gives him a chance and then maybe withdraws him if he has to and says, look, these players are hungry, they're younger, they're performing better.
Yeah.
And I hope Hodgson's got the bravery to do that. I thought he wouldn't have the bravery to take those young players, and he has done. Mm-hmm. I hope he's got the bravery to drop Rooney if he needs to.
Yep. He's been very consistent in what he said about Rooney, and that he considers, you know, the
just the part kind of squad, basically.
And also the circus around him to just be nonsense and something he doesn't take any notice of. So, you know, that gives him the freedom to do whatever he will do either way. I think the difficult thing in what you're saying, Luke, is it that easy to go to Wayne Rooney and say, look, you're not playing that well, you know, you've not been playing so well for England, because he seems like a player that does have a fragile and volatile ego, and that might just put him in a sulk for the whole tournament.
Yeah,
and, you know, I'm not saying I have an alternative, but they must maybe talk that to will each be... other. Yeah, of course, yeah, but I think part of managing egos is exactly that, isn't it? You're managing someone's ego as much as possible, and you don't want Rooney kicking around like a baby elephant. Yeah, well, no, I'm not offering a suggestion, but I'm saying it may not be as simple as an alternative.
I suppose that's just how Roy Hodgson enters court. He's got this job, and he's got to do it.
It's one of the tough things about it. You've got to keep harmony in the squad. We've seen from other teams, it's brilliant actually that England don't do this, but we've seen from the French and the Dutch in the past that if that starts to happen and the camp's unhappy straight away, it's going to derail you completely.
Yeah, and that's what it's almost starting to happen with Holland already today.
Yeah. I think that might be, you know, a bit of a mountain out of a molehill. But, yeah, I mean...
Yeah. Well, just to finish with England, I think what you were saying about how to manage Rooney, I think that's one of the big pluses of having Gary Neville in there, who's a player who's done it recently, as in played World Cups for England and obviously played for Manchester United.
With Rooney.
With Rooney, exactly. But I did like what Phil Jagielka was saying, that Gary Neville's been in charge of taking the players through their opponents' weaknesses and strengths and all, and he said it's just like watching Monday Night Football. Like, it would be, wouldn't it?
Didn't he say it's just like watching Monday Night Football, but he can't tell you off?
Yeah.
Just seen Gary Neville had a go at a journalist on the beach today.
Yeah,
that's right.
He followed him for like a mile, and apparently he turned around and was like, piss off, I'm just walking down the beach.
I love the way he asked him if he spoke English first. Do you speak English? Piss off.
Yeah, it's such an English thing to do, isn't it? Will you understand me if I say this? That's all I want to know.
Because I can use a varied array of hand gestures if you don't.
What were they expecting him to do?
Yeah, I know.
Kick a crab. I don't
know. Yeah. Arm wrestle with Phil in the sand. Like a brotherly fight on the sand. Kick sand in his face.
Listeners to the Football Ramble are eligible for a fantastic offer with Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and simple to build your own professional website and online shop. The easy-to-use drag-and-drop tools, responsive designs, and 24/7 customer support teams based in New York and Dublin mean you can create a beautifully designed website for as little as £5 a month. This includes a free domain name when you sign up for a year. Seamless e-commerce solutions mean that your business can be taking money in minutes. So when you sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use the offer code RAMBLE to get 10% off and show your support for the Football Ramble. No credit card required. Start building your website today. A better web starts with your website.
Let's jump around the groups. In Group G, which I would say is the second toughest group behind Group B, the Group G is obviously Portugal, Germany, the US and Ghana. Cristiano Ronaldo is back in training after an injury scare. I thought to myself, oh, don't start this. You know, we've had a few big players dropping out. I mean, Marco Reus for Germany.
Frank Ribery.
Frank Ribery, of course. Yeah. And I thought, not Ronaldo as well. But
he didn't feature at all in the Mexico friendly. They beat Mexico 1-0 the other night. And... Ronaldo wasn't in the squad. There are a few players who weren't in the Portuguese squad, actually.
Yeah, well, it's great to see Ronaldo back in training. He does go against what Nana Kwaku Bonsam said. He's, of course, Ghana's premier witch doctor.
Well, everyone knows that.
Just in case you don't. According to The Guardian, his name translates to Devil of Wednesday.
Yeah. Wow. All the other days, you're fine.
Yeah. Just does a one-day week. Wait, you know, he's the premier witch doctor. Yeah. He doesn't need to do anything.
Is there a Champions League witch doctor? Yeah. I don't know.
Where are you going? I'm going to see Nana Kwaku Bonsam. You know it's a Wednesday today. I'll leave it till tomorrow. Yeah.
Described as not premier, which is Ghana's most influential.
Right, yeah.
To suggest.
Very important distinction.
Yeah, his influence is far and wide, I can only imagine. He claimed responsibility for Ronaldo's injury, and when people were talking about his, I think, was it a knee injury that Ronaldo had? You know, very, very demonstrable that, you know, someone's clattered him on the knee. Yeah, yeah. It's all happened to us. He said, I know what Cristiano's injury is all about, and I'm working on him.
Did he also say, I'm very serious about it?
Yes, absolutely. He apparently predicted this in February. He said, last week I went around looking for four dogs. and I got them to be used in manufacturing a spirit called Kwawiri Kapam. The injury can never be cured by any medic. Today, it is in his knee. Tomorrow, it's his thigh. Next day, it is somewhere else.
Well, it'll get to the point where Ronaldo's not injured, and he'll say, well, I was working on him, and it was Wednesday, it got to 5 o'clock,
yeah. Hadn't quite finished. So I had to wait a week. By then, it was too late, he got fit again.
To be fair, Jim, the games do kick up at 5. You don't want to miss a game.
No. Exactly.
How does that man have any influence?
And rather more sombre news, actually. I hate to be the one to break this to you, and I'm not sure if it's completely substantiated, but friend of the Matt Ramble, Murray James,
he's
doing some work trying to track down the Ghanaian pop man for the TV show he's working on, I believe. Mm. And he got reports back from, it has to be said, a pretty unreliable source, that the Ghanaian pop man's unfortunately passed away.
I hope
that's not true, because, well, obviously we'll see, because he'll be there if he's still around. But yeah, I mean, it's a Ramble exclusive.
They'll have somewhere to put the ashes.
But Murray...
That is
a new low.
Nah,
it's unacceptable.
But not the worst thing we've done.
Murray wasn't sure if he was telling the truth. This guy,
because
didn't the guy say, "Yeah, apparently he's dead. Can I have £300, please?"
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Can I have £300, please? Don't give him the information, then ask for the money.
Yeah,
God,
I've got some very good information about where you can find the guy there, Pop Man. £300, pay it. He's in the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man. So very interesting.
Are we the only football show to do cover Portugal by essentially just talking about a guy there,
and then to disrespect the potential dead?
I'm not being funny. I've got the formation of the Portugal team here.
Far away.
No,
don't need it. Don't need it. Let them do it on their own time. That's not why they tune in. Ronaldo did say that to compete in a World Cup in a brother country like Brazil is appealing. I think it will be a fantastic experience, and I believe Brazilians will also support us.
Appealing?
Yeah.
I'm sure it's better than that.
Yeah.
Up to a point.
I'm not sure if Jim might have mentioned this a week or two ago, but Portugal will feel very much at home in Brazil, and they're familiar language to them and familiar lifestyles, you know, similar anyway, and so that could really play into their favour, because they've got quite a tough group, but I fancy them to get out of it.
Would you say that if Qatar gets stripped of the tournament, who knows what's going to happen there, but if it was in the US or even more so Australia, would England feel a bit more at home, do you think?
No, because England are dreadful.
Yeah.
I think the heat would be different as well, and
it would be their winter though.
True. Yeah.
A lot of ifs and buts there, ladies and gentlemen.
Should we not worry about 2022 yet?
Yeah.
Said Sepp Blatter. No, I'll make a decision in October. Yeah, I've got a 1 month jolly to get out of the way first.
Well, did you hear what old Sepp said? But he's upset about the current barrage the FIFA is facing at the moment due to the corruption allegations, of course. He said, once again, there is a sort of storm against FIFA relating to the Qatar World Cup. Sadly, there's a great deal of discrimination and racism, and this hurts me.
Towards the Swiss.
Nothing to do with the dead set.
No, on a serious,
nothing to do with on the dodgy...
On a serious point about FIFA, it's actually coming to light now that the most... accurate and effective way of targeting FIFA might well be putting a lot of political and media pressure on the sponsors.
Yeah, well, the sponsors have all come out, haven't they?
Yeah, exactly.
Is it MasterCard, exactly.
Visa, Adidas and Sony, I think, are the ones that have... And Visa and Adidas did it together, so I've obviously been speaking about it. Apparently, you can't use a cash card at the World Cup in the stadiums if it's not a Visa.
But that's what happened in the London Olympics, mate. You could only buy the tickets with a Visa card.
Amazing.
Yeah. And they said, and London Olympics was coming out saying, oh, we're proud to only use Visa cards. Well, you shouldn't be fucking proud of it. You should be ashamed of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just excluding people.
But that's one of those wanky things, like when BT Sports suddenly announced all your Champions League games in one place. Yeah. You won't have to flick a button and change a channel.
Yeah, but you're
better ingredients, better football.
Yeah.
but your pay per view. We'd rather the free to air channel actually had it. If we're honest, but
even if we do have to sit through Andy Townsend,
that's true. Spain. David Villa got a brace in 2-1 over El Salvador. 58 international goals for that man.
He's not bad, is he, Vian?
He's decent.
I like him.
Diego Costa had a decent game. It'll be interesting to see what happens with him at the World Cup, whether he'll be used. Del Bosque recently said that they are not a ticky... What did he say? Tiki-taka Taliban. They're not tiki-taka Taliban.
Right. Tiki-taka Taliban.
Yeah. I think I see what he's getting at there.
Yeah. I think he was basically saying we can play other ways.
Michael Cox... I'd
stay away from the whole Taliban thing.
Yeah, I would. Michael Cox of Zone of Marking fame said that if he had one criticism of Del Bosque, obviously it's difficult to criticise him because of what he's won with Spain, is that he's not adventurous enough with his strikers.
Yeah.
And that he'll much rather use sort of Fabregas as a false nine than play a striker. Mm. Which actually, though, looking at the strikers Spain have picked... isn't a terrible decision, because you've got Torres, who's a shadow of the player. I mean, he's lucky to be in the squad.
So why then drop Negredo then?
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's
a strange one. Although Negredo's his form fell away towards the end of the season.
Not as bad as Torres.
And you've got David Villa. Well, true. You've got David Villa, who's not really a first choice striker.
He's more of a sort of a winger striker.
Yeah. And then you've got Diego Costa, who of course had a great season, but he's untried at international level. I think he's got two caps. So I mean,
for Brazil.
Yeah. They're not. I think he's played a couple of times.
I don't
think they're blessed with a massive amount of riches up front. I really don't.
Well, it's going to be interesting, the reception. Well, it won't be interesting. We'll know that he'll get a hostile reception, Diego Costa, because obviously he turned his back on his own country to represent
Spain. Weird how this has played out, though, because it's been a very public spat, with Costa saying that Scolari never spoke to him about it, and Scolari saying, yeah, I rang him twice and said I'd pick him.
I didn't know that.
I think Del Bosco was very shrewd, because he went out and I think he sat him down, had dinner and talked to him and said, you're in my World Cup plans. Whereas Scolari says he rung him, but ultimately there was no chat between him and manager. But you have to remember that Diego Costa, this is by far his best season.
Oh yeah, by a long way.
Before this season,
is his breakthrough season.
Yeah, before then he hadn't been... People hadn't known
him
so
prolific.
Much. Yeah, and
well, he's playing second fiddle to Falcao, wasn't he?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's understandable. But I get the impression he's sort of thought, I saw this, I've got more chance with Spain, oddly enough. And he says, you know, he felt valued in Spain, and that's where his career began. So he said, I owe this country. It's not a rejection to football, to the Brazilian football team. And he said, I have family in Brazil. It's where I was born, and it's where I'll live when I finish playing.
Mm.
So it is strange.
Isn't he in real danger of making himself just a villain at home? You know how serious football's taken in Brazil.
If they play
Spain and Brazil meet and he scores,
but I think Brazil's fans will be way too busy booing their own team by the time. Against Serbia, they got all sorts.
Yeah, but I mean, I suppose it happened with the likes of Pepe and Deco and Eduardo. With Croatia, but Eduardo was never really going to trouble that squad. Deco, maybe.
Deco probably would have been caught up eventually.
Sure, yeah. But they've then returned to Brazil, their homeland. So it is such a strange one, isn't it, really?
Brazil's got a decent enough team. I wouldn't worry about it, guys.
No, I'm not worried.
From their point of view, sort of having a go at it. So there's no... They're blessed. They are blessed.
True.
But just enjoy it.
Yeah. Just enjoy it.
The Brazil fans are so angry, they're angry at Spain players. It's incredible on the eve of the World Cup.
Spain, when they play the Netherlands, it'll be the first time that the two finalists from a previous World Cup will have met in the tournament since 1990, when, of course, Germany played Argentina. Yeah. But that was in the final again.
Yeah,
that was in the final again. But not in the group stage.
Mm.
Mm. Incredible stuff there.
It'd be a great game. That's on the second day of the World Cup, isn't it? It's such a good... Because you get the whole opening ceremony, you get Brazil-Croatia, which would be magnificent.
Oh, God, yeah, no. It's just always on, isn't it? It's so good.
You wake up the next day, you've got Spain, Netherlands, look forward to it in a competitive game.
On Sunday...
Next day, England.
Yeah.
On the first Sunday, bring it back down. Might watch that. On the Sunday, there's a bonus game at 2 a.m. I think it's Japan against the Ivory Coast.
The Blue
Samurai versus the Elephants.
Yeah.
I love how this World Cup is just matched to my sleeping patterns like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah. That's right, done it.
I finished work at 12, and I'm still awake at 4. O'clock in the morning, so I'm happy with this.
How much did you have to pay Bin Haman for that?
10% of my income, which he didn't know was so low.
He'll take it, mate.
Is that why you've been going to Japan, because you're lobbying for them to get it?
Belgium, they beat Luxembourg 5-1. That's been wiped from the records, though, because they made too many substitutions. I didn't know this. I thought you could make as many as you want in a friendly, but no, it's between three and six.
It's because of Sven's England, isn't it?
Is that right?
Because he kept making 10, right. They eventually, it wasn't just because of him, but they eventually started pushing through maximum subs. And if it's to be officially recognised by FIFA, to get your FIFA points and all that sort of stuff, ranking points, you can't make any more than six now.
So has Mark Wilmots looked at that and just kind of, I need to look at the players way more than Lukaku needs a hat-trick on his record?
Bad,
I think that's a deliberate thing, because Lukaku must be really annoyed. That's a cracking hat-trick.
Yeah. Is that doesn't go towards his tally? Yanazai's debut.
Yeah.
I'm fairly certain that...
Luxembourg are making all the headlines. Do you want to get Italy.
I'm fairly certain that on Football Manager, if you try and make too many substitutions in that situation, it says, hey, now that's not going to go towards your tally, your total.
Is that right?
Is that right? Okay.
Wow. Yeah. Interesting.
So if only it was Football Manager.
Lukaku sprained his ankle, but he should be okay. The US, they beat Nigeria 1-0. Altidore scored his first goals for club or country in 6 months.
Really powerful second mark.
Nigeria just haven't had really that much luck on them.
There's not much talk about the African sides, unfortunately, this time around.
I was reading the whole of the US in terms of their soccer supporting nation breathe, yes, breathe a collective sigh of relief and out-of-door score, because I think they might see him as a Premier League player, and he has been starting for a Premier League side, and seeing that he's not scored since December or whatever, and we're thinking, oh God, we really need him, because obviously they haven't got Donovan and stuff. And when he scored two, I think they were absolutely delighted. But have you seen their other striker, Chris Wondolowski?
Is he the young lad?
Yeah.
He's
forced his way into the squad, essentially. Plays for the San Jose Earthquakes, and he's a bit of a cult hero over there.
Okay.
I read an interview with him today in Rolling Stone magazine. They're profiling a lot of the players in the squad.
Mm. Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, and introducing them to people who maybe aren't into football. But the interview with Chris Wondolowski, I mean, as a reminder, he is called Chris Wondolowski. It's already a pretty American name. In the space of one interview, which wasn't that long, and I'm going to have to vote it the most American interview of all time, he manages to squeeze in the following mentioned into this interview. Jay-Z, Chicago Deep Dish Pizza,
nice.
New York Pizza.
He's on commission, isn't he?
WWF.
Yeah.
His favourite bar, called Pete's Brass Rail and Car Wash Bar.
Yeah.
And having an HBO Go account. There's only about six questions in the whole interview. He's the most American man.
Quality. You know what? A lot of people really, really sort of mock the USA and their fans and the way they engage with football, particularly at the World Cup. I love it. They're part of the furniture now. And long may they continue to just be as American as they possibly
can. I love it.
I want, like, guitar solos at the end of the game whenever they win. Not like air guitar, real guitars. Just go with it.
I think pizzas have no place in football, frankly.
Mentioning pizzas.
I actually had a couple of pounds after reading that interview on him to be top scorer. You go betfair.com/footballramble if you want to do the same.
There you go.
There
you
go.
It's the taste of a new generation.
Pete.
Yo.
In China, they've gone down the Paul the Octopus route, haven't they? using pandas. Brazil are going to be using elephants to do a sort of similar thing. If you don't remember Paul the Octopus, well done.
I love how even that has been taken too far.
Yeah.
That was an octopus that predicted the results of football matches at the World Cup, and that has been spoiled. ridiculous when that is the starting point.
Because every single human being in the world loses their shit when it comes to the World Cup.
Exactly, there's no logic involved, and that's why it's brilliant.
Every place that kind of owns a lot of animals just loses their mind and go, yeah, this is relevant, we'll sort
this out. We can trick it into predicting things. Won't even know it's doing it.
Some Chinese director was convinced that Paul the Octopus died during the tournament and there was a replacement, and he made a film called
No one cares, mate.
I know.
Have you seen the clip? I didn't realise it actually got made, but that Tim Roth Sepp Blatter film.
I've seen the clip. It's one of the most self-aggrandizing things I've ever seen.
Bearing in mind that, they're supposedly, in the same video, a non-profit organisation, they're just doing a film about how cool Sepp Blatter is.
High budget Hollywood as well.
Tim Roth.
He should be ashamed of
that. He really should.
And
he looks
like
to
me
him,
was bad
done
enough.
It really well.
To be fair, you don't know what his finances are like.
No, true.
I mean, if you're thinking, I don't know what his finances are like, I've genuinely no idea, but if you're in a situation where, oh man, I could do the pay down, I'm a bit low, and FIFA come knocking, I mean...
Yeah. We've got some surplus you can use.
Yeah. If you're purely going on selfish terms, I mean, they're the people. You are knocking at the door.
I'm Sepp Blatter.
One of the interviews I saw with Sepp Blatter, it was on that John Oliver clip that's been doing the rounds about how bad FIFA are. I was an American, I can't remember if it was a man or a woman, interviewing Sepp Blatter, some American TV station. And they said to Sepp Blatter, you're supposed to be a non-profit organisation, but you've got £1 billion in the bank. And then Sepp Blatter goes, well, this is for emergencies. And the guy just goes, it's £1 billion.
In case some team turns up without the kit?
Blatter remains unfazed.
My giddy aunt.
What if we discover another planet and they've got loads of countries and they want to enter?
We want to take it to them.
Exactly. Yeah. That'll cost a load.
It will, yeah. Mm. I've got some facts about different World Cup teams.
Reel them off, bruv.
Do you get them out of Shoot magazine that you got?
No.
As we walked in?
Match magazine.
And two, there are other magazines available.
No, it's nothing to do with that.
We're not a BBC podcast. We don't have to do that.
Germany have got the tallest squad on average.
Have they?
Yeah. Argentina have the oldest.
Germany's all per Mertesacker, isn't it? He's bringing that right up.
Yeah.
And an old Di Michaelis for Argentina. it's a strange one, that, with Argentina, because you think of Aguero and Messi, who aren't that young, admittedly, but they're
oldest on average.
Yep.
Chile have the shortest. You think of
fair enough.
Yeah, yeah. And Ghana have the youngest.
That's Nigeria, and you know that.
No, Ghana have got the youngest on paper, apparently.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Is that
there
it?
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, just chuck them in there. It's a bit of fact.
Good job, everyone.
Hang on a minute. It's time for the Panini stickers grand opening.
Hello.
Unless you had anything else, Luke.
Oh, it was fun.
Have I got anything else? No. Yeah? I got nothing. Right, I thought we were going to do a bit about the Netherlands having a fight.
Well, you mentioned it earlier. On that earlier, yeah. Didn't we?
It's interesting because the guy who Robin apparently clashed with, Bruno Martins Indy, yeah. is a guy. You can't make this up. This is a typical Holland. I read
Little about, John again.
I read about a week and a half ago that he has been complimented with managing to bring the older and the younger players together. Well. How they got such great harmony because of him. He's been fighting.
Maybe that's Robin's what it is. Fault, wasn't it? Yeah, he's divided the camp into Robin, Iron Robin, and everyone else.
Yeah. And Robin's the best player, so it's probably not the best idea.
It's like Edgar Davids taking out Jonathan Wilkes on soccer.
Is that Jonathan Wilkes' job now?
It seems that way, doesn't it?
His full-time job used to be Robbie Williams' friend.
Yeah.
Now it's just my favorite, looking after that every year.
My favourite footballer on Twitter is Portsmouth midfielder Cy Ferry, who he just says whatever he wants because he's a League Two player and no one cares.
Yeah.
And last night he said, watch a soccer aid, Jonathan Wilkes playing in the hole, Robbie Williams' arsehole.
Oh wow, yeah. He really can say whatever he likes, can't he?
Apologies Simon Frey, if I get in trouble for drawing attention to that.
He tweeted it.
Yeah, exactly.
He put it out there, yeah. Pete, open your packet of Panini stickers. Good rip.
Satisfying, that's one corner. That's the second one.
That sounds too good to be real.
It does, doesn't it?
I think I just give myself a hernia.
If we get a shiny here, we're going to have to use it to seal the predictions in the shot in the box.
Oh, it depends what shiny
is. That's a good point.
High budget here at the moment.
Excellent idea. Mm. Right.
Get us off to a good start, Pete.
We've got half a stadium.
Which one?
Estadio Castelao.
Oh, good.
You've got somewhere to play. Presumably we're going to make five-a-side teams. Yeah. So we're all coming around yours. Say which city?
It doesn't actually. I'm not really sure. Yeah. What does that look like?
That's
it's beautiful.
It's in Brazil.
Beautiful.
Yeah. It's in Brazil.
Not the one that's in the arsenal of nowhere.
You're supposed to have a five-a-side team, so you're not going to be able to have
this
one.
This is a bit of a nightmare.
Go on.
Landon Donovan.
Oh no!
So you can't have him.
Landy Kerr.
A consolation for Donovan, I'm sure he'll agree.
So basically, so far, you've got the rent on half a stadium that you can't afford to contend with.
And a player that's not going to be there.
He can't play, mate.
Well, that's a fan. We've got a fan.
Yeah. True.
He'll definitely turn up.
We've got Southampton's Dejan Lovren.
Because some packets you can get players who I've never heard of.
Yeah. That'll be coming up in a minute.
We've got Nottingham Forest's Gonzalo Jara.
Oh, right, really?
And finally for now, Tim Cahill.
You hate Tim Cahill.
That's right.
That's not bad, though.
I've done all right, though.
Yeah, you've done okay.
Shall I go?
Go on, then.
Go for it.
Go on, Old Sport. I don't know how Pete did that.
He's a radio professional, that's how he knows what he's doing.
And that'll make up a tear.
Just I'm going to textbook, open one side and then popping them open.
Get it open.
Right, coming up first, I've got a half a stadium. Is it half to yours? I've got Arena Pantanal.
No, but maybe we can mash them together. Yeah. Oh, actually, there's two left sides. I'll have to turn that one upside down. Okay, that'll be confusing.
Okay. Oh, I'm well pleased with this. Mili Jedinak.
Yeah, for Australia.
Absolute fulcrum.
Had a great season in the Premier League.
He's going to have a terrible World Cup, I'll tell you that now.
He might not.
I've got Colombia's McNelly Torres.
Yeah, oh, good. I like McNelly. He plays in the Middle East.
Yeah, he does. Plays for Al Shabaab.
He does. Yeah, but he's a playmaker. I think Al Torres might even get the odd game.
Fluminense's Fred.
The Lion Killer.
Winners.
Peter, look at it and
look
wink.
Look at that. Look at that smile.
And Sporting Kansas City's Graham Zuzi.
Yeah.
Zuzi.
He looks like a right cool customer. Look at him.
Good.
That's
an American athlete for you. Jimmy.
He looks like a wrestler, professional wrestler.
That's an American athlete for you.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, shall I go?
Yeah, go on, Jim.
Oh, what a sound. I'm also going to go for the popping open technique. Yeah. Actually, no, I'm just going to rip it like a savage.
Yeah.
I have got half a stadium.
Yeah,
everyone gets half a stadium.
Stadio Mineiro.
Oh, nice, yeah.
Okay, so then I've got Martin, is that Casares?
Casares, Uruguayan
player.
Yep.
So that's
is he the guy with the really baggy shorts? He might be.
The shorts aren't in the sticker,
sure,
so
but one of the Uruguayan fullbacks, it may be him, may not be. Has got like basketball style shorts.
It's nice to see. Ramble player Rupert Fryer likes to wear big shorts.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Fair enough, why not? That is followed by Luka Modric. That is a handy one five aside, isn't it?
He's deft.
He's got a potential to cause a few upsets, actually.
Mm.
He can really call the shots.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, I also have Raiz Mboli, who is, I believe, Algerian. One of those players we've never heard of.
I'm pretty sure he plays for CSKA Sofia, actually.
I'm pretty sure of that because it says it on the sticker.
And then finally, you got a shiny.
Yeah, I do have a shiny. The predictions are saved.
Yes.
I've got the Grease shiny.
Yeah, well, that's
a greasy shiny.
Means the predictions are going to be sealed properly, and the security is paramount at the World Cup.
Yes, exactly.
Excellent.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, well done, everyone.
There's going to be no risks taken.
Take a time speller.
I've got Segundo Castillo.
Oh, he's had ruled out for injury. Ecuadorian midfield player.
It's a shame. It's a shame, isn't it? Fernando Muslera, the Uruguayan goalkeeper.
Yeah. Okay.
Who'll be picking the ball out of them nets.
Yeah. Against Italy.
Yeah. And Costa Rica. I've got Falcao.
Oh.
That is gutting.
That is sad.
Falcao and Donovan in the stands looking on at this shower of shits. In three half completed stadiums.
It's probably thinking, if I was fit, I wouldn't even want to play.
This is a nonsense.
I've got a beautiful boy from Switzerland called Valentin Stocker.
Good player. Valentin. Switzerland will do well this time, I think.
And Andre Ayew, the Ghanaian man.
Yep.
Nice.
So a decent finish.
We've actually done all right.
I think we've done okay.
Yeah. I have to be honest with you, I was terrified I was going to get five players I've never heard of and have nothing to say.
No, yeah. Same as me. But I've got the keeper, the Uruguayan keeper, Muslera.
Yeah.
Is he in goal then for the five or something?
Yeah, we'd have him. Oh, they've got Fred up front.
Fred's up front. Modric is in
Modric.
There.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think Andre Ayew could get in there.
Yeah. Well, what about Jedinak?
Oh, yeah. Pete,
I got Cahill, Lovren.
Lovren at the back. Modric in front with
Jedinak, I think.
Jedinak.
Yeah, and then Fred up front.
Andre, we're not instead of any.
Yeah, okay, well, he can come on. He can feature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Make a note of that, ladies and gentlemen. Now, we've also made our predictions. Obviously, that's sealed with the Grease shiny. So we'll unveil them after the tournament, and that'll show you all how ridiculous we can be when predicting football.
Look out for my, was it yellow cards last time? It was ridiculous, or goals? I forget.
Did you predict like 600 yellow cards or something?
No.
No, he predicted for the Euros.
15.
It was, I think the tally for the Euros was 76 or something. Okay. It was up there, and Pete predicted 43. But crossed out 37.
I'm
just...
I'm a hopeful chap.
So the categories this time around, we'll just run you through in case you weren't listening last time. The categories we're going to do predictions on, which will be unveiled at the end of the tournament, are winner, of course, dark horse, which is a bit more subjective, but it's an interesting category, and the stage that England will be knocked out at. And those of you more keen listeners will remember that I predicted England to get to the semi-final in 2010. So always a pleasure. The top goal scorer, Golden Boot. Total number of yellow and red cards combined.
Yes.
Total number of goals.
Uh-huh. Oh, really? I've just gone for yellows.
Oh, that's fine. That's all right. That's okay. You're not going to get anywhere near it anyway. I'm going to win, so that's fine. total number of goals and... an introduction of a new category for this World Cup is any random prediction of something you think could happen during the tournament.
Yeah, that's some sort of random event. Let's say.
There you go. So that'll be good.
You're damn right. Before we go on to Pete's game, a little bit of domestic news to talk about. Louis van Gaal. Apparently, he's already calling the shots at Manchester United, despite being in charge of the Dutch national side for the World Cup. He stunned the club's hierarchy already. He wants the current pitches at their training ground ripped up and replaced by the Deso Grass Master System. The training
sounds like a computer game.
Yeah,
sounds like something you'd buy a mini Moog off.
Well, apparently, I think it's Carrington where Manchester United.
That's always brand new, anyway.
Well, yeah, they're state of the art pitches. Like they're really proud of it, and he's just come along and gone, no, rip it up.
You wanted Van Gaal. Yeah. You wanted a good big pair of swinging bollocks.
That's not what he's done, though, is it? He also wants new floodlights, I believe, at the training ground, which are going to cost him £4 million.
Can we get any floodlights? No.
Do they have to be bought from who? Bobby Van Gaal.
Is Louis Van Gaal
going to spend his transfer budget?
You guys, I was thinking about this earlier. We talk about, everyone mentions the classic World Cup advert, the 1998 one, the airport with Brazil, right?
Yeah.
Do you guys remember, I think it was a World Cup one, and it was an advert for the World Cup ball, and I forget which World Cup, and I'm pretty sure Louis Van Gaal saying, it's rounder.
Yes!
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
See, that
was he not driving a helicopter?
I think he was driving a...
He was a helicopter pilot.
Okay, right.
That was him, was it
and
not?
And they basically go into like a museum and steal the ball back. Mm. And they were doing all these keep-ups and all the artifacts and all these...
Yeah, the baddies.
All these baddies, like ninjas came in.
Yeah, I think he was the helicopter pilot.
And Louis Van Gaal at the beginning would send like Davids and Sadov and a couple other players in there and say, get this ball back, it's rounder.
Yeah.
And that is the most underrated football ever around. Yeah. People talk about the airport, and that's good. But this one's better, I think, and people should seek it out and watch it.
I think
Louis Van Gaal's greatest contribution to football, in my view.
I think eventually FIFA should start using the emergency fund of $1 billion to start actually making these feature length. So you get like a World Cup movie where just some of the best players, just some sort of
adventure happens to them in their lives.
That'd be great.
The big blockbuster movie.
The big Nike World Cup advert for this tournament, I think, is about 8 minutes long.
Long.
Mm. I mean,
the last one was crazy. Do you remember?
It's longer.
Homer Simpson in it.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, well remembered. Obviously, they crib him down to 30 seconds or a minute or whatever for TV, but the full length one on YouTube is really long.
Mm. David Beckham. He wants David Moyes to manage his Miami MLS franchise.
Has he not been watching?
No.
Does he know?
Yeah, apparently
does
so.
Does he still think he's Everton manager?
Still think he's Preston manager.
Do you think Moyes is like, give us a bit of credit? Yeah. I'm not ready for this
yet. I know.
I'm a young manager. Well, that said, it is in Miami.
Yeah, which would be cool.
You get, what's his name? Salazar, manager, a referee in your game.
Yeah. Although he's from California, though, so he's probably, I don't think he's based.
He's refereed in Miami before.
Yeah. No, he knows the ropes, but doesn't know how to officiate them. Celtic have got a new manager, Ronnie Deila, the new manager of Celtic Park.
It's a shame for Di Canio.
It is a shame for Di Canio.
So rough.
For football.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, Jim.
It's not Celtic.
You say that's a shame, but this guy looks pretty interesting. Some have called him Norway's answer to Jurgen Klopp. And he was manager of Strom's Godset, and he once celebrated a win against Viking by lobbing his clothes into the crowd.
Wow.
Vucinic style.
Yeah, so you can see him in just in his pants.
But he took our Strom Godset to their first league title in a very long time.
43 years.
And I think he won in the cup as well.
He did.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a funny one, isn't it? Because you think he's come from Norway, and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer came from Norway, of course.
Yeah.
If Ole Gunnar Solskjaer had come to Celtic, he probably would have done a good job. Probably would have. He'd still be in a job now, you would have thought.
You can't not win the league.
Well, exactly. So I'm just saying that this guy is far more. I'm not suggesting he will be successful. I mean, like, probably will be. It's a different situation for him, and he's got far less pressure. Whereas Solskjaer's gone straight into the Premier League, right in the melting pot, and really struggled because it's such a difficult environment. Whereas Celtic, of course, it comes with its own pressure.
Yeah.
But you fancy him to do a good job there.
Yeah, I mean, he is in Scotland's. It's not their top division anymore, as we know. That'll be the Scottish Championship.
Yeah, but if you, this is it, though, isn't it? If you go into the job, taking the job at Celtic, and not only that, Rangers, Hearts and Hibs aren't even in the division.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not really a difficult job, is it, as one fair?
Well, talking of the Scottish Championship, Raith Rovers have a new shirt sponsor in the form of world-famous crime author Val McDermid. She's a lifelong Raith Rovers fan, and the front of the shirts will have valmcdermid.com on them. And I love what Big Val said. She said, with the arrival of Rangers...
Do it in the Scottish accent if you're Scottish.
With the arrival of Rangers...
Is that Craig Brown? Is that Craig Brown in drag?
You for now you don't fire, dears. No, with the arrival of Rangers, Hibs and Hearts in our division, there will be many more visitors to Starks Park. So whether you're a local business or you're aiming at a wider audience, this is the year to get involved with Raith Rovers.
Yeah. Wow,
I'm on board.
Action. A call to action.
Are you listening, Sony? Hey, you've got a bit of sponsorship money left over all of a sudden, have you? Get down there.
You imagine if one woman can afford, you know, the entire sponsorship gig. Probably not that expensive, my friend. What have you got in the bank?
Yourself down to Stark's Park. Wet once spotted. I've probably said this 1,000 times before on the show. I think it was Clyde Bank that had Wet on the shirt.
Oh, did they? Mm-hmm.
Didn't Oasis once try and sponsor Man City? But they couldn't have,
I think because of the clothing line Oasis, they were like, nope.
The 90s.
But surely the clothing line Oasis are sort of getting free advertising then. That was stupid.
You'd think so, Jim, wouldn't you? Pete, why don't we have a game? A Pete's game.
Oh, is it a World Cup special theme game, Pete?
That's a cheeky question.
Welcome to the World Cup themed game.
Stop, Roger Miller.
Brian Ross. From Brian Ross.
What's Brian that? Roy? Is what's, that from Brian
what's Ross?
The, what's the name of the game?
World Cup game. Welcome to the magic of the World Cup game.
Yeah, mate.
It reminds me of one of those games they used to put out on computers in the 90s who didn't have the rights to anything.
Yeah. Chris Kamara's soccer fest.
Yeah. World Cup soccer style game.
Football kicking fun.
Cola flavoured drink.
I was born in 1973.
Can I just check? Is this actually a World Cup player or not?
Yes, I think it is.
Okay, right. Is he known for being a World Cup player?
Stop.
No.
Okay.
Didier Deschamps.
He's known for being a World Cup player, yeah. Let me take that back, he is.
I'll take that as a no for that.
I was born in 1973.
Didier Deschamps?
No.
It's still wrong.
Okay.
I played my first matches for the Virginia Cavaliers when my coach was Bruce Arena.
Stop.
I had that.
Okay.
Brad Friedel?
No.
Brian McBride?
No.
Oh, I would have been gutted if you'd have got that.
Eric Wijnaldum?
No. I won the Herman Trophy in 1993.
Stop. Colby Jones.
No.
Oh, damn it.
Colby Jones.
Stop. Is it Sporting Kansas? It's Graham Zuzzi.
No, it is not. My first professional club was Bayer Leverkusen, for whom I did not score one goal.
Can I just say that Graham Zuzzi is 72 kilos, was born 18th of August 1986, and is 1.78 metres tall.
Well, you've done it now.
Stop.
Tim Cahill, 67 kilograms.
Tab Ramos.
No.
Oh, Tab Ramos.
No, that's
Ramos.
Not,
yeah, Ramos.
Well known for being on the end of Leonardo's elbow and not much else.
He's the captain of that side.
I scored my first professional goal while on loan at VfL Wolfsburg, who I later captained while still on loan from Leverkusen.
Stop. Not Alexi Lalas.
No.
Stop.
Didn't he play in Europe?
Claudio Reyna.
Claudio Reyna.
Yeah.
Yes!
Well,
well,
done. Well done. Well played, sir.
Well done.
Thanks, guys.
Well done to you, sir.
What are the rest of the clues, Pete?
Yeah.
I like it when you've won it and you can just nod along.
I was the first American captain at a European club.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
In 1999, Glasgow Rangers paid both the Wolfsburg and as well as Bayer Leverkusen to get my rights. I played 64 games for Rangers, scoring 10 goals.
Correct.
I played for Sunderland and Man City.
That's right.
My contract was terminated in 2007 and I moved to New York Red Bulls for family reasons. Mm. Bruce Arena was again my coach. Four World Cup squads, also the captain, the third American ever to be named in the World Cup All-Tournament team after Bert Padenard and John Souza as well. I'm now the Director of Football Operations for New York City FC.
Can I just say, Brian Ross was that who did that. Lots of clues, what we like to hear, because sometimes the clues are about four of them.
That's true.
I'm sometimes referred to as Captain America in England.
Mm. Ah!
That's excellent, Pete.
And yeah, well, that was...
Pete didn't do anything.
You'd have definitely got on the Rangers one.
I would have
done.
Yeah,
done. Yeah. Well, yeah. Well done, Brian. Thank you for that.
Well done, Brian. Give us some correspondence, Luke.
Yeah, the correspondence this week was just a World Cup-themed correspondence. What are you most...
World Cup correspondence.
Yeah. World Cup-style correspondence.
World Cup TM correspondence.
Yeah. The question was, what are you most looking forward to in this summer's World Cup and why? The first answer is a little bit saddening.
Go on.
From friend of the Ramble, Dan Shoesmith, okay, Big Dan.
Mm-hmm.
He says, good to see him at the Ramble Live, by the way, he was there. He says, some sort of West Side Story-esque showdown between the Colombian Birdman and, yes, the Ghanaian Potman. We need to get updates on Ghanaian Potman's status. He says, Switchblade, dancing onlookers, the works. Sounds pretty good, to be fair. Murray Michael has got in touch to say, I'd like to watch Sky's increasing frustration that they can only interview hot dog sellers and taxi drivers. Because those of you listening in outside of Britain, they obviously haven't got the rights, so they can't show. Or anything.
And it's free-to-air rights for 2018, 2022.
Exactly, yeah.
That's good news.
David Harrison has tweeted to say, Ramble every day.
Okay.
Do you want to break it too much? We will not be doing shows every day. Rob Hansen.
If you want, we'll give you Pete's number and you can just ring him if you've got anything.
Producer for hire, Pete. What else have we got here? Rob Hansen says, the potential execution of Adrian Charles by the cartels.
Oh.
A bit harsh.
Whoa.
Unlikely.
Hang on a minute.
Steady.
Ewan Ancorn on Facebook. I'm looking forward to the Football Ramble podcast, of course.
Creep.
I can't believe you put that in.
Fucking creep.
Why can't you believe that?
I'm joking.
Mike Willoughby, who tweaks it a lot, says to us, Robbie Savage, you can't polish a turd, but you can put it in a white suit and sit it next to Rio Ferdinand.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Especially put hashtag I quite like him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird.
That's your first mistake. Sam Shaw, I'd like to watch England and only England because watching anything else or even enjoying football is unpatriotic.
Damn right.
Darren Booty on Facebook has said, Leighton Baines singing Free Love Freeway. What else have we got here? Oh, this is actually quite a good point. It's something we've not mentioned. Tom Fahy on Twitter, referee spray painting the lines for free kicks.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what we're going to be doing this summer.
The vanishing spray.
That makes it sound more dramatic, the vanishing spray.
Yeah, it
Where's
does.
It gone? Where's it gone?
You don't want it's already really humid and really stuffy. You don't want more fumes on the pitch,
do you? Spray was there earlier and now it's got all they've scored.
Yeah.
Be careful. Brief the players fully on what's going to happen with that because they don't want them being distracted. Rump Steppers on Twitter, the inevitable return of Jimmy Jump.
Jimmy Jump?
Is he going to pipe up, do you think?
Oh, he'll be flown over by like a Better Not company or something. Yeah. Definitely, yeah. Definitely.
Jimmy Jump, I forgot all about him.
Just a couple more left. A bit of a bumper section this time because it's the World Cup. Alex Rapley on Twitter. Clarence Sadoff in and around the BBC studio out-punditing Savage in his third language.
Yeah, he's been sacked.
He has.
Inzaghi's in, isn't he? Because they're looking to the future.
Yeah.
I think it was Sadoff. I think he got to Brazil with the BBC and he's like, this is brilliant. I've just got a hat-trick at Soccer Aid of the World Cup. Sorry, who's that, Milan? You're sacked. Give a shit. Fine.
You can't sack me. I've already quit.
Can you imagine Inzaghi will be lining Milan up so they're all just offside before the game even kicks off? Yeah.
Do you reckon he celebrated getting the job with like a massive like shirt off around the States?
Yeah. I would hope so.
I've got one more piece of correspondence from a guy called Peter Caucasian.
Ooh, I think that's like a euphemism.
I think he's American because he says, leaving work early to pound beers at noon on a Thursday.
That.
I mean, in America, do you pound beers? Yeah. We love you for it. Our American
cousins. I'm going to smash a few brewskis. Keggers.
Excellent.
Get a keg. Keg party. Keg party. Keg party for the soccer.
It's just drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just drinking.
Has decorum come back into the studio? Because if it has, we better get out. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the Football Ramble. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com, the Twitter is @footballramble, and of course the website is thefootballramble.com.
What better time, and I've already mentioned it once, to open a betting account and start betting, and as a side issue, start making the Football Ramble some money.
Yes.
Go into betfair.com/footballramble. They will give you a free bet up to £50 if you open an account and start betting on some hot World Cup action. My tip would be have a bet on Chile.
Have a bang on that.
Chile are 50-1.
Are they?
I think Chile.
Jimmy Jump, I think, is a better bet.
Do you know
what? Sure, you can do that.
That'd be good, wouldn't it? I think Chile could get ahead of Netherlands.
Yeah.
And I actually think they might upset Brazil in the second round.
Do you really?
That's exciting. Mm. Big talk. So we know what's in your little envelope then.
That's not my little envelope, Pete.
excellent chat there. Anything else, Pete?
No, not really.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
no rock and roll football for the World Cup.
No. But you can check out absoluteradio.co.uk and check out Righty having a chat about who he thinks will do well in the World Cup.
Marvellous.
England, probably.
There you go. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye, Jim.
Oh, we should say that we will be doing podcasts.
Oh, yeah. When's the next show?
Sorry about that. Jim's still here.
Next show Friday or Saturday around then.
And then we'll have one, a reaction to England, Italy as well. Check out the Twitter.
We'll be doing loads.
Yeah, keep listening.
Don't you worry.
You get the updates on when we're actually doing them. But there's going to be about 12 or 13 in total throughout the World Cup, which is like three times around what you normally get.
Yeah.
Although it isn't every day, David Harrison.
So we apologise.
Just listen to old ones on the days we're not doing it.
More than enough.
Now we get to the proper goodbye. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye, Jim.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Go fuck yourself.
Pete.
Wow.
That's a proper goodbye.
World Cup game.
Yes. Go World Cup.
Go World Cup.
Nessun Dorma.
World Cup yourself.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.